Hi, everyone, and welcome to On The Box, the Geek Show's dedicated TV podcast show type thing. I had to think about my words there. My name's Rob, and today I'm joined by the wonderful, the amazing, and the two of them in stereo, the Andrews.
One and a half. Yeah.
Which one is the half?
Don't put yourself down, Andrew.
No, I meant me.
How are you guys today?
I'm good. Andrew's just
so phlegmy
there.
So very phlegmy.
See, I thought you said so lemmy for a second there. Right, okay, before we go any further, I just have to mention On The Box is a show on the Geek Show Podcast Network, and if you like what we do, then show your support. We have a donate button on our website, and we also have alternative ways that you can support us. You can purchase one of our lovely bits of merchandise, which is on the shop on our website, thegeekshow.co.uk. If you find our show on shows on iTunes, then please give us a rating and a review. It does help us with exposure. If you have an idea for a show, or you want to get in touch with us, or you want to suggest a TV show for us to talk about, then get in touch with us, studio@thegeekshow.co.uk, or find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, or someplace on the internet. We're there somewhere. Just look for The Geek Show. And on with the news, which is very, 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 very Spartan this week. In fact,
well, I have one bit of very important news.
Oh?
There are tiny explosions outside my window.
There are tiny explosions.
I'm hoping it's just someone letting the fireworks off early.
I think it is, but when you said tiny explosions, I just had a mental image of, colony of ants from Ants with the Woody Allen ant at the front, and they're all just letting off tiny fireworks. Oh, there's an insect war that we don't know about. There might be, we don't know. Anyway, on with the news, and first up is Atari.
Atari?
Yeah, Atari, as in the video games company, who haven't done much since the advent of E.T., the video game.
Good reason, I think.
Yeah, with good
That's
reason.
That's the one they buried, isn't it?
Yep, it basically broke the company, and they never really recovered from it. And they made some video games over the years, but they've never really been a major force in the entertainment industry. But it seems like they're looking to recapture their lost glory by setting up a new TV station. And they're beginning in South Africa. They want to create a global TV network starting in South Africa. At the Discop Africa TV content market in Johannesburg on November the 2nd, Robert Blagman, the CEO of Media Fusion, who've been contracted to manage Atari's TV programming for global distribution and syndicate, and told everybody at this event, "Game On, which is currently in development, is looking to shoot in South Africa." So it may be that this is more of a video games related channel.
But then why are Atari doing it?
I don't know.
That was what we call a sick burn.
Yes, it is.
But they might not have anything much to do.
Well, according to the executives, South Africa represents an incredible area of opportunity. And the more we can do down here, the better. Atari is apparently very pliable, and it can go in any direction, which I'm not liking the sound of that, but, you know, that's their business.
Well, isn't the whole point of, for example, the TV basically obsolete now with the internet? So they might be targeting the less developed countries for a TV channel.
Well, it's in terms of that, it's a good idea, but it's also a bad idea, because if you look at African TV...
Okay, guys.
Yeah?
Oh, that's... Yeah. There was a video on that Only Fools and Horses thing that started playing randomly.
Oh, right. Okay.
I didn't even have that tab open.
You thought it was one of us.
But I did.
Oh, you made your jump, probably, didn't it?
Did, well, like, the two main theories were one of you guys or ghosts.
Well, Ghost just started playing Only Fools and Horses.
Ghost with good taste, obviously.
Anyway, I don't know, maybe they're relying on ghosts for this. I mean, when you look at TV from Africa or China or even, hell, let's use Japanese TV because, you know, if you've seen Japanese game shows, need I say more?
I've heard of a few, yeah.
Well, Takeshi's Castle is a thing. We all know it, right?
Yeah, but that was actually a serious thing in Japan, wasn't it?
Yeah, I know, but would anyone in the West have come up with it?
That's actually quite a good question, and the answer is no.
I mean, I think it's less an issue of coming up with the idea and more finding a country with lax enough human safety laws to allow it to happen in.
Yes. Anyway, basically, what they're saying is that Atari executives believe South Africa represents an incredible area of opportunity, right? And what they're promising to deliver is a built-in audience base of what the executive Blagman calls future-focused fans, along with what Atari execs feel is a unique ability to bring in a range of revenue streams, including from mobile apps, TV, and web series, and merchandising, because they don't have enough on the merchandising bandwagon. You know, everybody never bought, at least one Atari T-shirt in their life.
I think the one thing Atari's got going for them is merchandising, because everybody knows who they are, whether they release a new game whenever or whatever, you know.
I was looking into Alone in the Dark Illumination was their last game.
Oh, they did Alone in the Dark, didn't they?
Yeah.
They did. Enough
said.
No, the first Alone in the Dark games, the very first ones were really good. You know, Alone in the Dark and Alone in the Dark 2, Jack's Back, those were really good. And then it got worse.
And then the film came out.
Well, then the film came out, and then the PS3 version came out, and it was just horrible after that. Anyway, along with Game On, the company is developing a series with Discovery based on the popular Codebreaker video game. It's also building Codebreaker. It's also building a mobile app with the Discovery-owned sports broadcaster Eurosport, which last year bought multi-platform rights across most of Europe for the four Olympic Games to be held in 2018 to 2024. So, yeah, they're hoping South Africa is going to help kickstart them into becoming a global TV network, because that's where all the money is, apparently. And I'm not too sure this is going to work.
Oh, no, it's going to fail horribly.
It just seems like, I mean, they're coming into it late, and they're focused too much on TV instead of internet distribution. If they'd focused on internet distribution of this sort of stuff, then they could film in any country that they wanted and basically do it like Netflix, but have their own content. So they could actually look at taking on Amazon, Netflix, that sort of thing. Or basically distribute through Amazon and Netflix through deals.
I mean, that's just Atari, though, isn't it? They have no idea what's going on in the world.
Yeah, but setting up your own TV channel?
You need to negotiate deals and everything for them.
Yeah.
I take it Netflix is going to be a lot easier to get really into.
Yeah, but I mean, become a TV production company first. Get your hands, get your hands in. Understand how the industry works, and then maybe look at making a TV channel, because you've got that exposure. People know who you are again. Because right now, people equate Atari with, oh, that company that failed because of E.T. the video game, even though the word Atari means winner or win.
You know, to be honest, I think like 90% of people just associate Atari with the T-shirt.
Yep. Mm. Like I said, everybody bought an Atari T-shirt at least once in their life.
And they're famous for that the Atari run of consoles, remember, Rob?
No, they're not.
Way back when.
They're famous with
Don't be
people...
silly, Andy. Atari never made video games.
Yeah, they're famous with people who are my age. But if you aren't a gamer and you're, say, under the age of 20... how probable is it that you've heard of Atari as a console maker?
Fair enough.
I think all the Atari execs just kind of sit around in an office all day going, remember Pac-Man? Remember when we did Pac-Man? Those were the days.
I think they just sit around in the office all day until they need to start going through the corridors munching pills. I think Pac-Man was based on their actual life and work habits.
Well, yeah, because they were seeing ghosts after they munched them pills.
No, they were seeing ghosts before, then they munched the pills, and then they realised they could
eat
the ghosts.
Maybe I secretly work for Atari. That's why the ghosts started the Only Fools and Horses video.
It could be. You need to find some pills and munch them so you can eat the ghost. Oh my God, I've just realised you could improve every single ghost-based horror movie just by adding that Pac-Man game mechanic in there.
Oh, I know you probably hate the film, Rob, or this type of film. But I've just got the idea of something like Paranormal Activity being a completely different movie with pills.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
See, I was imagining more like Patrick Swayze doing the really sensual pottery and then just a giant yellow pizza slice appearing behind him.
Oh, no. Whoopi Goldberg just having some Vicodin or something like that and then taking a big bite out of him.
Does mean if it was a film like The Sixth Sense, he'll end up eating himself?
No. He's a tasty snack for all children who can see spirits.
Actually, I've seen Haley Joel Osment these days.
Yeah.
Because looks like he's been eating them ghosts.
Oh, Ghostbusters would be a very different film if Gozer had to worry about the Ghostbusters actually eating them.
Well, to be honest, you need to be taking pills to go and see the new one.
It's not that bad. It's not that good either.
Yeah, Andy, you just hate it because you're a misogynist. God.
No, I'm just saying it's not good and it's not bad. It's basically nothing. You know, I still don't understand why they didn't go down the whole passing the torch route with this movie. Have Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd, you know, well, prevent Dan Aykroyd from flipping out and munching pills and trying to eat everything, including the scenery, you know, and the ghosts.
Which, that's just what Dan Aykroyd does on a Tuesday, isn't it?
Yeah, that's just what he does on a Tuesday. When him and Richard E. Grant get together, just make sure there's no sets around. Because they'll just get the napkin, tuck it into the collar, knife and fork and spoon ready. It's time to chew some scenery.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the new Ghostbusters, it wasn't anything. They should have gone with the passing the torch storyline. It would have made so much more sense. Would have made the fans happy. You know, the fans of the original Ghostbusters would have made them happy. And it would have relaunched the brand for a new generation.
Anyway, Atari is setting up this TV thing.
Yeah, and that shows you just how interested in how much faith we have in Atari. The fact that we're so happy to talk about the new Ghostbusters film instead of Atari setting up a TV station.
Well, you've got your TV gaming channel already, and that's, I think, is it Jinx, G-I-N-A, or something similar like that?
I think it's pronounced YouTube.
Yeah, I was going to say... There's Twitch, there's YouTube, there's all sorts. You don't need an actual TV channel dedicated to video games because, well, yeah, YouTube is the thing.
Yeah, that's why no one makes video game TV shows anymore.
That's like trying to create a channel, a TV channel that's dedicated to unboxing videos or something like that.
Oh, no, 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 no. There are people who still make video game TV shows. I know of at least two channels. I can't remember the name of the first one, but the other one... is Sky News.
Sky News?
Yep. Sky News.
Yes, just as they make fictional TV dramas.
Yep. Sky News have a TV program that is their version of BBC's Click, right? It's called Swipe. And I don't understand why they called it Swipe, but they've got one of the video game journalists from IGN as their video game reporter. I was watching one of the shows and listening to what she had to say about a particular video game, and I was like, have you actually played this game? Because it didn't seem like she had.
I just like that you said IGN and video games journalism in the same sentence.
Yeah, I know, I laugh at that as well. Of all of the video games outlets, you know, news outlets or review outlets that they could have gone for, they could have gone for somebody kind of highbrow. They could have gone for someone from Eurogamer or Polygon or someone like that. But instead they went for IGN, and I still don't understand why.
With TV, though, you need it in small bite, not a full channel.
Yeah.
Because, as Andrew said, you got online for that.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, who's going to sit there? The quickest way to fall out of love with video games is to immerse yourself in just TV of video games.
Yeah. Well, there used to be this TV show on Sky One, Rob. I think it was about 15 years ago. It was called Gamesville.
Yes, right? I remember it.
And they used to have this guru. He lived in the cellar, or was it the basement or something? Not being a loft one, because it was up the stairs in the first season.
Yeah.
Then he upgraded him to a lift shaft in the second season. He was basically this man, this weird man that just read out these cheat codes every now and then.
Yeah, it was Sky's attempt at doing a show that was like Games Master. And there's an idea. Why not just bring back Games Master? You know,
because it's obsolete in the 21st century.
No, I mean, if you need a video game show.
Yes, but the point is, you don't need a video game show.
I know you don't. That's why I don't understand Atari. What Atari are doing? If they wanted something to do with video games, they could have just gone out, bought the rights to Games Master, and produced a new version of Games Master. You know, and put that out on, say, you know, on digital distribution using Netflix or Amazon Prime or something like that. Oh, sorry, Amazon, whatever it's called. And it would fit with their remit because Atari is seen as... They're not seen as innovators, are they?
There's weird thumping sounds in my house now. I'm quite scared.
Grab the pills and get ready to chew.
To chew?
Yes, munch those ghosts.
So anyway.
Yeah. Leaving that to one side. Let's leave Atari now, because, as I said, they're not innovators. They don't have a reputation of being innovators. Amongst the video games community, Atari are seen as kind of the granddaddy, which is one of the reasons why I think if they want to bring back Games Master, it would fit them.
Psst. Rob.
Yeah.
Rob.
Yeah.
Continuing to talk about a thing isn't leaving it.
I know. I know. I'm leaving it there. That's it. We're done.
Okay. Thanks for listening, everyone. See you next week. Bye.
We're not that done. Anyway, moving on to what was next, Andy?
Yes. Well, next, Only Fools and Horses. Remember that classic sitcom that everybody seemed to love, and for good reasons as well.
Okay.
It's been basically, it's topped the chart of the most watched programme in the whole 80-year history of British television.
Okay.
So there's just over 24 million people tuned in for the episode broadcast on the 29th of December 1996. And I might be mistaken, but that might be the Heroes and Villains episode. It seems to tally with the date.
Okay.
But yeah, since November the 2nd, 1936, and it's the most watched episodes of anything on British TV.
Okay, that's pretty interesting. What were the other shows in that list then?
The other shows that were in the list, I'll talk about the shows, not the episodes.
Yeah.
Well, number 10, this is going in episodes, this.
Yeah.
Only Fools and Horses.
Okay.
Christmas Day 2001.
All right.
So that, I think that's the one where they won the money.
Possibly.
Number 9 is a Coronation Street episode.
All right.
Number 8 is the Mike Yarwood Christmas Show, BBC now, One.
There's a name December, I
97.
There's a name I haven't heard in a long, long time. Mike Yarwood. My God. No, seriously. Anyway,
it's surprising though what comes up on these.
Anyway, carry
on. So the Man of Born 7.
All right.
Dallas is number 6.
That must be the episode with the with either Who Shot JR or the shooting of JR or something like that.
1980, 22nd of November.
Probably.
I would assume it's the Who Shot Him, isn't it?
Yeah, I
it
think
must be like the premiere after it.
Possibly, or it might have been the episode where he actually got shot.
Yeah, but I mean, if it's the Who Shot Him, then like people already know there's a build up.
Yeah.
As to why they should be watching that episode.
True.
You have to say though, Dallas did get, that was 21.60 million altogether.
Wow.
I think it looks like just UK figures.
Yeah, but you got to remember, the internet wasn't a thing back then.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, if you're looking at this list, I think the oldest one is, newest one even is 2001 for Only Fools and Horses. So that's like before we could start just recording them on boxes and watching them online.
Yep.
Yeah, we call that time for MBB. Before broadband, because it had dial-up, but it wasn't as good.
What could you call it? The Dark Ages.
They were dark. There were a lot of power cuts when I was a kid.
I had lots of power cuts when I was a kid as well.
Yeah, but you live in Eaglescliffe.
We're not supposed to tell the listeners where we live, Rob.
It's fine. They're only allowed in if they're above a certain level of wealth anyway.
This is true.
Anyway.
It's not even well-guarded, it's just that poor people are physically repelled.
And repellent. Anyway, moving on.
The number 5 is the Royal Variety Performance, November the 14th, 1965.
What?
21.70 million.
1965?
Yep.
What was so special about that one?
I don't know.
It was like the first one or something.
Yeah, but I'm not done yet. It gets better. The next one, this will make me want to do research this.
Okay.
Panorama, November the 20th, 1995, with 22.77 million.
What the hell was that episode about? I really want to know what this episode was about now. Panorama.
Oh, it was when they interviewed Princess Diana.
Ah, about the adultery. Okay, yeah.
Just goes to show the British public, doesn't it?
Yeah, they do love a scandal.
Especially a royal scandal.
Yes. Anyway.
Yeah, Rob, this will make you mad. Well, this will make you think if you thought number 5 was bad.
Okay.
The Royal Variety Performance, November 19th, 1967. So it's 2 years after. And this had 22.80 million. So 1967. Must have been something special.
I don't want to know.
Was this like back day when the variety performance would include strippers?
Pain strippers.
Yes, exactly, Andy.
And number 2, The Man of Born, November 11th, 1979. And number 1 is Only Fools and Horses, December 29th, 1996. And that got 24.35 million. So that is nearly 3 million more than the Dallas episode.
Wow.
Another mentions on there is the Benny Hill Show, Just Good Friends, Silver Jubilee Royal Variety Gala in 1977, and the Markham and Wise Christmas Show.
Hmm. Well, I'm not too sure what to say about that.
Apparently we used to love the old variety performances.
Yeah, I don't know why. They weren't very good.
There was only two channels, wasn't there, Rob?
What, back in 1967?
There'd only be two or three channels.
I think it was only two. Maybe ITV as well. Actually, no, ITV I think was around then, because was it?
Yeah, Robert was on ITV.
Was it? Okay, so the three channels then? Because I think Channel 4 didn't start until the 1980s.
And Channel 5 was 90s, but nobody talks about that channel.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that's the news.
That is the very paltry amount of news we had.
Yeah, because not much of any interest actually happened in the world of TV. There's a lot of stuff that we didn't find interesting. We don't think anyone else finds interesting because we believe people have standards, goddammit.
Usually we can make a story out of any story, but we couldn't this week.
It's because people have standards.
We're just lazy.
Yeah, I think it's because we're lazy. Anyway, we're going to take a break there and we'll be back in a moment with what we've been watching.
Do you like books but can't handle too many words? Or prefer comics? Then tune in to the Geek Show's dedicated comic book show, Four Panel.
Welcome back to the show. Now we're going to be talking about what we've been watching. So, Andy, you're up first. What have you been watching?
Yes, I've been watching one of those shows that you always look at me really odd when I say I watch. No, Rob, it's not that one where they access the social media accounts anymore. It's not
Safe Word. Okay.
This is...
Is it the one where you look at weird guys on the internet?
Are you stealing Rob's joke?
It sounds like he is.
It's my joke now.
No. I've been watching Meet the Parents. And no, not the Ben Stiller movie.
Okay, explain this one.
Well, Meet the Parents, it's coming off my interest when... Because I like the TV show First Date. It's quite funny, and to be frank, it's actually really hilarious. Meet the Parents is a show, is a dating type show where it's like it's got. Do you remember Blind Date, Rob?
Yeah.
Where they had three, there was three on one side, and then you had one on the other, and you had to choose one.
Yeah.
This is that, but the three of them sit behind a wall where the one singular person can't see, and they've got the three parents sat next to them, and basically it's the parents' job to sell their kids to the date, and it's absolutely hilarious.
This isn't like a Southeast Asian or Arab or African TV show, is it?
Not hosted by Ollie Willoughby.
All right, okay. I'm just checking that it had no connections to those regions of the world.
I mean, it could be, Rob, that even if it did, people don't actually try and sell off their daughters for, like, cigarettes. Just you when you're doing your rather racist impressions.
That wasn't quite what I was on about, but you understood what I was on about in a roundabout way.
Yes, because I had horrible flashbacks to you being a buyer for three cigarettes.
It were camels. Camels, man.
You couldn't have, like, a Dragon's Den-based scenario where they just have to put offers in.
It's getting worse, Andrew. You set him off. Anyway.
Oh no!
I can give you half the money.
I'm yelling, "I'm out!" has got very different connotations.
Exactly.
Oh dearie me!
I can give you half the money and one of my offices.
Okay.
Anyway,
so they're saying it's Meet the Parents. So is it three different sets of parents, or is it one of the three different parents, but only one of the parents?
Oh, it's the full. It's the two parents.
Right, I was going to say, because if it was just the one of the parents, you could have called it Meet Your Future Mother-in-Law.
Yeah, but it's basically the three parents trying to embarrass the kid as much as they can, in a way. At the end of the day, they have to choose a date, and then they go on one, where the parents are watching the date without them knowing, which is also quite hilarious.
See, I don't see any problem with parents humiliating their kids as long as it's not my mum, because she's got far too much ammunition.
It's like there's one episode that's been on where they ask the parents to take a picture of the bedrooms of their kid.
Okay.
Oh, God, it was brilliant. And it makes you think that you actually clean up your room, you know, when you see how bad these ones are.
Yeah, but wasn't there that show where you had kids who couldn't actually cook for themselves, and yet they were full-grown adults, they were still living with their parents and couldn't actually look after themselves at all?
What was that one? That sounds like a good one to watch.
I can't remember what it was called. I hate watching it because it just made me want to grab those adults, full-grown adults, and just give them a good beating because that's what they were lacking.
Eh? So it wasn't Can't Cook, Won't Cook would fix that.
No, although being put in a studio with Ainsley Harriet right next to you going Percy Pepper for half the day, that's going to fix some people's wagons.
So anyway, I do recommend this show. I know I recommend quite a lot of shows, but this one, it's so different. But it's a familiar format, but it's so different. It's really fun to watch. And if you just like that show where you just want to watch something and it's not going to depress you, or anything like that, watch this. You'll get a laugh.
Okay. Andrew, do you want to go next?
Yes, actually, because I think I have the perfect lead on from this.
Okay.
Because I've been watching something we got sent in.
Oh, yes.
Watching Decalogue.
Oh, God.
Which is a Polish television drama series directed by Krzysztof Kieślowski.
That explains why you're so depressed.
Yes, good old Krzysztof, who, you know, smoked himself to death at the age of 54.
Yeah, I've watched a few of his movies. The Colours trilogy, which everyone raves about, goes, oh, it's such a brilliant trilogy. There's this one scene where Juliette Binoche, she drags her knuckles along the wall in order to show how much pain she's in. Like, no, just shut up now. Back to you, Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, I think that pretty much sums up this as well. Of it's so very serious. Like, just hours upon hours of Polish men frowning at things. And then having, like, big, long talks about the nature of God and morality and what everything is basically the worst. Sometimes they'll be, like, an adorable child, and you go, oh, what a nice, young, adorable guy. He sure is chipper. I bet he's dead by the end of the episode. And he is.
Don't know how to follow that.
But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's bad. I think it's like technically quite good.
Okay.
But it's good in a very film studies kind of way. Like, lots of tight cinematography and lots of very good visual storytelling. Like, in the first episode, it's about a father whose son goes missing.
Yeah.
And like, you pretty much already know that he's fallen in the lake and drowned. But it's just a bit, it's like he's sprinting around the town, desperately trying to find any lead. It's very, very tense, well-shot scene.
Okay.
So yeah, like it's very good. It's just, I would absolutely understand anyone saying they don't like it.
Yeah.
Because it's just constant misery.
So it sounds like the complete opposite to Meet the Parents, then.
It is. It's literally just like an hour long of constant horribleness. And also inadvertent hilariousness, because it's made in the 80s and they have things like computers that do really basic calculations and they go, wow, it's so advanced.
Yeah, that is the one big problem with something from the 80s being featured by somebody now.
So yes, like, not something I'd recommend.
Yeah.
But I think if you are someone kind of with an interest in cinematography, or just like films in general, like as an art form, I think you'll probably get a lot out of it. But for your average viewer, it's going to be way too much.
Yeah, Kieślowski is one of those directors who film students at university and college, they get told to watch his movies because he was such a visionary director. And like, I've watched a lot of his movies and no, he wasn't.
Also, there's a random homeless man who keeps showing up in all of them.
Are you sure he's actually in it and he's not a figment of your imagination, then?
He could be.
I mean, that is equally as likely.
He really could be.
You'll be seeing him when you get on the train or something next. Oh, he wasn't in the programme at all. He's real.
I'll just driving down the road and see Polish men staring wistfully off into the distance.
I'm sorry I inflicted this on you, Andrew.
So this has just been a constant day of you emotionally wounding me.
How did I emotionally wound you earlier?
Literally the entirety, well, like about half of this week's four panel was just tearing apart my sense of right and wrong.
How? I've forgotten.
Bath time boyfriend, Rob.
Oh, right, bath yes, yes, boyfriend. The bath time boyfriend, yes, yes, yes.
I don't want to know.
No, you don't, Andy. You don't want to know.
If anybody listening does want to know, tune into four panel.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sorry about that, but Well, yeah, I say sorry. I'm not really. Anyway, any more to
it's
talk
fine.
About?
I'm just going to pour myself a glass of whiskey, kind of stare pointedly off into the distance. And it'll be like a metaphor for God or something.
Or pancakes. You know?
Or pancakes.
Yeah, he never actually explained what it's a metaphor for, so you could basically go with whatever you want.
I mean, now that I don't think any of the characters ever eat pancakes. So maybe the point of Decalogue, instead of being a reflection of the Ten Commandments, is actually everyone's lives would be so much better if they just ate some pancakes.
Yep.
That's it, we've cracked Decalogue.
I mean, was it just Decalogue, or was there anything else on this?
There were some other documentaries, but I was too emotionally burned out from the TV show to watch them.
That's fine. I mean, Kozlowski is always a hard slog for anybody, even people who were fans of his work. And I use that term very, very loosely. They still find him difficult to watch.
Basically, I think the best way to sum it up is Stanley Kubrick is a fan of Kozlowski. So yeah. If you want to end up like him...
I want to make movies. I want to make a movie about this. I want to make a movie about this. I want to make a movie about this. And the last movie I want to make is about an orgy.
And also, the only way to make movies correctly is to psychologically assault all your actors all the time.
Yes. No wonder. Was Tom Cruise a Scientologist before he met Kubrick or after?
Maybe that was Kubrick's entire game, to like subliminally implant Scientology messages into him.
I wonder, did Kubrick ever work with John Travolta?
Maybe like Scientology is all one big Kubrick thing.
Possibly.
But like in years to come, he's going to descend from the heavens and explain how this was like a revolutionary piece of art.
Yeah, it could be.
Because real life is the true film, Rob.
Well, don't say that, because then you can say Stanley Kubrick is like a god-type figure.
Stanley Kubrick is a god-type figure. Stanley Kubrick's fault that Donald Trump is nearly going to be president.
No, I reckon... well, actually, no, because in order to create the dystopian future in which A Clockwork Orange can exist, you need to have a president like Trump.
Yes. That was where everything was leading to all along.
Yes. Right, shall I go next?
You shall go next. Because you're the only one of us who hasn't done something yet.
Yep, and I have been watching wrestling. Not just any wrestling. It's a seasonal TV series about wrestling, but it's probably one of the best presented wrestling shows I've seen. And yes, they're owned now by WWE, but it started off as a Robert Rodriguez passion project. It's Lucha Underground.
Ah.
Right. I've watched a lot of wrestling on TV over the years, and WWE always has their big fanfare and everything like that. Then you got NXT, which is, it's not WWE, but it's kind of a platform to get into the main roster of WWE. But off to one side, you have this little show about luchadors called Lucha Underground. But the way they've framed it, the way they've shot it, it's really well lit and really well shot. The main bad guy in this, Dario Cueto, they've actually got somebody who's totally unconnected with wrestling, just happens to be a wrestling fan. And he's a proper dyed-in-the-wool actor, and he's a really good actor as well. And he's like the main bad guy. He's basically the manipulative guy in charge of the temple where all of the Lucha Underground matches take place. And it plays out like one of those Latin American soap operas. All of the characters are connected to each other in some way, and you have, you know, all of this infighting and everything like that. It's like Mexican clans going head to head against each other, but in the wrestling ring. It's really good.
This is the one wrestling promotion I've never got to watch yet.
You should watch it. It's brilliant because it's presented in kind of the soap opera style. You know, they really know how to do cliffhangers, and they really know how to do all that weird stuff that you find in Latin American soap operas as well. They've got one guy who's called Marty the Moth, and he's a total weirdo. Then you've got Dario Cueto's brother, Matanza Cueto, who is this huge beefcake of a man, and apparently he's really clever as well. You know, his IQ is, like, off the charts.
Hang on, I'm just looking through here, Rob, right?
Yeah.
It says special event, Aztec Warfare.
Yes.
Last winner, Sexy Star.
Yep. Sexy Star is a female wrestler who basically wrestles against the men because they don't have a women's division. Basically, everybody wrestles against everybody else.
Ah.
Which is a really strange situation for wrestling, but I quite like it because it presents wrestling as more of a combat sport. Because I never really liked WWE's whole misogynistic take on female wrestlers. You know, the whole diva thing. So when they changed that to the Women's Championship earlier this year, that was a big kind of, yay, finally. Women wrestlers are going to get a lot more recognition now, instead of being called divas. But Lucha Underground just kind of went, no, we're not even going to bother with that. You know, if you think you're good enough, take on the men. Let's be fully equal about this. And obviously, a lot of these shows, you know, like all wrestling, like all professional wrestling, the match is decided before they actually get into the ring. But the moves that they pull out...
Not well, wrestling's totes real.
Fair enough. Anyway, the moves that they pull out, if you've ever watched any Mexican wrestling, you'll know that they like their high-flying, high-risk moves. And you get a lot of that in Lucha Underground. There was one move early on in, I think, the first season, and you had this team of, I can't remember the woman's name, but one of the guys in the team is called Son of Havoc, and he wears like a black kind of face bandana type thing. And he looks like he's from a biker gang, but he's really popular with the crowd. And they got another guy on the team called Angelo, because the tag teams they do are like three people in a team. That's their tag team. And so you had Son of Havoc and his ex-girlfriend and Angelo against these other people who basically looked like they were Latino gang members, right? And they're hitting each other with these kendo sticks, right? They're basically, Son of Havoc's team is getting torn apart by these guys hitting them with these sticks. And they take Angelo up to the top of the office, which is like 20 feet above the ring. And then Son of Havoc is taken out, and so there's just his ex-girlfriend in the ring, and you've got two of these wrestlers, huge men, and they're walking slowly towards her. And then you see Angelo just come diving off the roof of this thing and land on top of them, and everybody just erupted at that point because it was such a high-risk move, you know, and he really could have got hurt. So pulling it off like that is really impressive. Yeah. But the thing is, again, it's all wrapped up in that soap opera. So you have these cutaways where you have Dario Cueto talking to the wrestlers or the wrestlers talking to each other. You know, it's so much better produced and the acting is so much better for the most part. Some of these wrestlers can't act for toffee. But in general, most of them put in a lot more effort than you find in WWE in that, and it's more believable. All the infighting and, you know, all this war. The Aztec thing, you know, is a big thing with them. They had one prize. You basically got these things in order to win the gift of the gods, which sounds so much better than winning the WWE Championship. I am the champion. Now I will receive the gift of the gods. How much better does that sound?
Definitely. It does sound very different. I mean, when they announced it was a season-based promotion, you knew it was going to be... Well, it was either going to take off really well or it was going to be... was going to flop.
It's
going to do one or the other.
It's so much better than WWE, mainly because it has that story element to it, which ties everything together. They do some insane stuff in Lucha Underground. They basically had the champion at that point, I can't remember where it was, but apparently he had death power, and Matanza Cueto is Dario Cueto's brother, and they were basically fighting each other. There was a scene before he goes into the ring where the sorceress who's apparently raised him from the dead, because this is the beast of a thousand deaths, he's got two henchmen with him, and apparently before they go in the ring, it's a really bad CG moment, this, but it was so good the way they did. He basically reaches in and rips out their hearts and offers them to this sorceress.
Are you sure he doesn't just fall asleep in front of the TV again?
No, this is all Lucha Underground. This is why I love it, because you don't get anything like that in WWE.
Do you think Andrew's going to take up wrestling now?
No.
I mean, watching it, not literally, like, take it up.
I'm just saying, if somebody had the balls to do anything like that in WWE, I mean, they got close to it with some of the stuff they did with The Undertaker and Paul Bearer back in the day, but they never actually went over the edge. And yet you have this guy, and you know, his henchmen just basically turn to dust, you know, they just die and turn to dust in front of him, and he offers up their hearts to this sorceress. And then they go in the ring, and they've basically got coffins, because apparently the person who loses is going to die.
WWE went in a completely different direction to that.
Yeah. But the showmanship, the presentation, it's so much better than WWE. And like I said, the story that ties everything together is so much better as well. So,
Rob.
Yeah?
In these coffins?
Yeah?
There's no Katie Vick, is there?
No, there isn't. The coffins were empty.
Oh,
The coffins were empty, but they had to be extra big because the two guys who were fighting over the championship looked like they were built in shipyards. So the coffins had to be like on the large side. Anyway, Lucha Underground. I think it's an amazing show. It is a show. That's the thing. It's a show you can sit there and just grin like an idiot for an hour. You know, you don't need
Netflix as well.
Yeah, you don't need to engage your brain at all. You just sit there and enjoy the spectacle for an hour. Then you go off and do something else. And you just think, I really enjoyed that. What a show. And it's nice to watch something like that from time to time. So yeah, that's me done. Lucha Underground.
I'm not dead.
That's the end of the show. We are at the end. So if you've liked what you've heard and you want to listen to more, then you can find us on Mixcloud, iTunes, YouTube, and various other places on the internet. And if you do go onto iTunes, as we said, you know, leave us a review, leave us a comment, you know, leave us a star rating. It helps with our exposure. It helps us to do more of this sort of thing. And so we can bring you more enjoyment by all our random banter about television. So with that in mind, we'll see you all again next week. Until then, I have been Rob.
I've been Andy.
And I've been Andrew.